We'll begin part two of Philippians chapter 4, and let's begin by praying. Thank you, Father, for this day, for your mercy, for your grace, for the cross. And we pray that your Spirit will be our guide, and you promised to send your Spirit to teach us and to guide us into all truth. We pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts and minds to understand your word, to hear your voice, and to receive your life. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of your word. I pray in Christ's name, amen. As we begin, I have to admit that I made a mistake last time, and I ended at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and was supposed to go till verse 9, so I'll start with verse 9 right now, and then go into the next section. Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul made similar statements like this, even in Philippians chapter 3. He said, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have seen us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So this is discipleship. We need to be a model, an example. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that we follow Jesus, and we can say to people, do what I do. And sometimes we're hesitant to do that, but this is really the heart of discipleship, to be a model and an example of following Christ, which is far more than simply teaching through a set of information. Paul said, follow my example. And what was his example? Well, we've seen that in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Philippians. His life was focused on Christ. He said, my earnest expectation and my hope is that Christ would be magnified in me, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And Paul was an example and a model of the mind of Christ, of the humility of Christ. And he said also in chapter 3, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and have a righteousness that is by faith, not by the law, not by my own works, but true righteousness that comes from Jesus himself. And so this was Paul's heartbeat and lifestyle and what he wanted to transfer into the lives of his disciples. The bottom line is this: we need the reality of the living Christ in our lives, and we need to live Christ before others, and they need to see his life in us. They need to see us following him and living by faith in him. They need to see that we truly know Christ, that we follow Christ, that we are learning from Christ and becoming like Christ. This is discipleship. And a big part of this, we experience by contemplation of Christ in his word. We need to focus our hearts and minds on Jesus in the word of God. And this is how we come to know him and to hear his voice. And this is how we're transformed into his image. So now we want to look at the final section, beginning at verse 10. So this final section of Philippians, beginning with verse 10, I've labeled contentment and God's power, and giving and God's provision. Verse 10, let's look at verses 10 through 13. Paul said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. I can do everything through him who gives me strength, whatever the circumstances. Contentment is really important. Paul said in 2 Timothy 6, Godliness and contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And went on to say, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge many people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So a little bit of a mouthful there. But contentment is very important. And Paul said in verse 12, I know how to be in need and I know how to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And that secret was Jesus himself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so his contentment wasn't based on having a lot having little, but it depended on his relationship with Jesus himself. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And here in verse 13 of chapter 4, Paul said, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. This is a very important perspective. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Through Christ, we can do all things. And Paul was specifically talking about being content no matter what the circumstances. It didn't depend on having money or finances or provision, having a lot or having little, but depended fully on his relationship with Christ. My family has lived in Japan for the last 45 plus years. And for most of our time here, we didn't have very much at all because we were living on dollars and the dollar was weak. And for 21 years, we lived in a very tiny apartment. My kids, four kids, lived in a room about 3 meters by 3 meters or 10 feet by 10 feet, something like that. We had two bunk beds in there and just enough space to walk in the middle. And it was tight, but when we think back on that time, we have no regrets. We were happy because we were in the center of God's will. And my kids learned to walk with God and to grow in their faith in that situation. And I don't think any of us would trade that experience for anything. Now we have a little bit more. My wife's mother, when she passed on, my wife inherited her mother's property, and so we have a house, so we have a little bit more now, but we would be perfectly fine without it. Contentment and happiness doesn't depend on what we have or don't have. This whole subject of contentment and contentment in Christ is hugely important, and it's not some type of simplistic teaching about just being thinking positive. But it's a matter of our faith and relationship with Christ. The bottom line is that nothing and no one but Christ alone can heal our heart and soul. Only he can bring true happiness and peace. But Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and one of the biggest core temptations that he suggests to us is that somehow we can be happy with things or pleasure or money or sex or drugs or something else, but nothing can fill our soul except for Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I came that they may have life, abundant life, full life, the life that God designed for us, but that only comes through him. And it's wrong to think that Jesus is sort of an add-on, that you can go to church, sit a little bit, and pray a little bit, and somehow he give you peace so that you can go out and do your own thing and not really walk by faith in him or in submission to him. He's all or nothing. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord of all. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you'll have peace and contentment, but not if he is just an add-on to your life. Once you've experienced the bread of life and the joy and contentment that he gives, nothing else can compare to that. So Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he was talking about being content no matter what the circumstances, but he also indwells us so that our hearts can be healed, so that we can live righteously by the power of his Spirit. We can walk according to his will and be fulfilled in our lives and experience the abundant and precious life that he came to give us. So he is our contentment. He is our joy. He's the only one that can bring happiness and fulfillment to our lives. Paul said then in chapter 4, verse 14, he's actually wrote this letter to thank the Philippian church for sending him a gift. And he says in verse 14, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. And verse 17, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. So Paul was thanking them for their gift and their support, but he is trying to make clear that he wasn't saying this so that they would send more, but he was expressing his appreciation and gratefulness. And he said in 17 that he was looking that it may be credited to their account. So we also are missionaries and have many partners and churches that support us. And I believe that whatever God does through us, they are partners with us. And however Jesus sees fit to reward us when we stand before him, the reward will be for all of those who have shared in the ministry through giving and supporting, praying for us, and many other scriptures that talk about this. And so I also am very grateful and supportive and thankful for all those who have supported us in our ministry more than 45 years. And I never want to put pressure on people to give. I don't think that God does either. He wants us to give cheerfully from our hearts. But Jesus also talked about money a lot. And money's important, not somehow that God can't get along without your money. He can provide in so many ways to do his work in the world. But it's a part of our discipleship. And we should talk with disciples about money, because if he's not the Lord of your finance and of your wallet, he's not really your Lord. Many people will go to church, pray, read the Bible, maybe even share the gospel, but they won't yield their finances to Jesus. And it's not a matter of how much you give. It's a matter of, does he have our hearts? He doesn't want just our money. He wants our hearts. He doesn't want a tax of 10%. He wants all. Well, you say that's too harsh. Well, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Trust the Father. And, why do you worry about, all these things? Your Father, he wants us to trust him with our lives for provision. And out of that faith, we can be generous to others. And giving is a joy. Giving is a privilege. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul went on in verse 18 and said, I have received full payment, and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. Remember, as we mentioned in the introduction to Philippians, that the Philippians didn't know what had happened to Paul. He'd been arrested, and then they found out that he was in prison in Rome, so they sent Epaphroditus to find out how he was doing and to bring this gift to him. And Paul said at the very end of verse 18, your gifts, they are a fragrant offering, acceptable, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord. So in the Old Testament, when they offered various sacrifices on the altar, it would burn on the altar and there would be a fragrant smell. And our gifts to God, depending on the condition of our heart, are to be a fragrant offering to the Lord. In about 1982, my wife and I decided to start our mission and go to Japan, initially with just our family. And we were moving from California to my hometown in the state of Oregon. And we were part of a church there, and there was a lady named Johnny, who was actually from England, but she lived in the United States. She was single her whole life. She was a nanny, and she wasn't well off. She lived in a very plain apartment and made money by taking care of other people's children. And she told us, before you leave town, please stop by my apartment. So after we had loaded up our car and all of our belongings and getting ready to leave for our hometown, we stopped by Johnny's house, and she came to the door. She was elderly at that point of her life, and she said, I've been saving some funds for you and for your mission, and so happy to bless you and to be a part of your mission to Japan. And she gave us an envelope. And there was $1,000 in that envelope. And we cry every time we think of her gift, because $1,000 for at that time is like someone now giving $10,000, but she didn't have a lot of money. This was a pure, fragrant sacrifice, an offering to the Lord that she gave with joy, and I believe that it was very pleasing to the Lord, like the lady, the widow, that gave two mites, basically two pennies, and Jesus said she had given more than all the other people, the rich people that may have put in thousands of dollars, because she gave everything she had. And the Lord sees our hearts, and he wants our giving to be joyous and a sacrifice of praise to him. And Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, and so many other promises in the scriptures. And that's why he said in verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. As I've said, we've had times of plenty and more times of not plenty, but by his grace, we've been able to give joyfully, and we love to give, and God has supplied our needs through thick and thin, and for more than 45 years, the needs of our family, the needs of our mission, as our children went to college, somehow he provided for them and for us. And in the ministry, as we've traveled around many countries in the world, he supplied our needs with abundance. And when we give to the Lord and give in faith and give as a part of our love relationship with him, we know, and I give testimony, that he will supply everything we need. It says, according to his riches in glory. And that's my experience and my testimony. And so giving is a joy. Giving is something we do in faith not because somebody's watching or because it's some sort of a tax, but because we love the Lord and we love people and we want to support the work of the gospel throughout the world. And yeah, giving is a joy. And he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Finally, Paul says in verse 20, at the end of this conversation about contentment and giving and the supply of God, and the promises of God, to God be glory, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And so I just want to offer a prayer. Just as I've shared my own testimony, I want to say thank you, Lord, for supplying all of our needs for our whole lifetime. And according to your riches in glory, the riches of Christ, you provided for our family, for our ministry, and blessed us so abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Your word is true, and you are faithful. And to God be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, verse 21, Paul ends with a greeting. Verse 21, he says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus, their brothers who are with me. Send greetings. And he mentions some of them, all the saints, all the believers. He's affirming their position in Christ. We're saints because of what he's done. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Many of those people that worked in the palace or were relatives of Caesar had come to faith and they were part of the family. The church is a family. It's a community. We are the body of Christ, and you can feel in Paul's greetings that it wasn't just him, but it was the brothers and sisters greeting those brothers and sisters in Philippi who he loved so much and was so close to. And finally, in verse 23, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Remember, Paul began the letter in chapter 1, verse 2, saying, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he concludes with a very similar greeting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And may that be the final words from me for the study of Philippians, and I hope you've been very blessed by it. And Father, I pray that I thank you for this study of Philippians, and so much sharing has been taking place as people have shared your word with one another. And I pray that that word would be a fire burning in the hearts of each one that is transferred from life to life and from heart to heart, and that we may see the fire of the gospel and burning in the hearts of your people and lighting hearts on fire all around the world. And pray, Lord, that you would teach us to abide in Christ and abide in your word and to love you and to make disciples of Jesus who love you. And may Christ be exalted through the sharing of his word.